Many people are stuck on how right they are about what they're doing. So they've got it well justified. We'll describe it that way, right? They can't see that a different solution would be better. I'm doing the right thing for the company. This is the right thing for marketing. Those campaigns are terrible. That wording is awful. Now the person is going to want to change this, okay? If they believe they're right about it, the head of campaigns is terrible and she's sleeping with the head of outbound marketing. Okay, well, that's more data. But it still doesn't solve whether this person, the VP of marketing, is coachable yet. Being coachable means willing to look at your own blind spots and your own purposes and your own role and to determine what really stands in the way of getting to your goals. Because if you think it's one thing and it's actually your blind spot, you will never ever solve that dang problem, because that's what a coach can help you do.
This is the Being Coachable podcast with your host, Jill Chappie. Get ready to challenge your assumptions, expand your thinking, and walk away with concrete steps to help you level up your leadership, business acumen, and personal growth. It's time to get coachable.
Hello, and welcome to episode 1 of Being Coachable. And this is the title track episode. So our topic today is being coachable. And what I wanted to talk about this for is because really it's why I named my company. So we'll get to that in a minute. But every person I've met in coaching has sought me out for one of two reasons. Number one, they wanted to improve something and needed a coach to do it because they couldn't solve it themselves. That's just the truth. They needed an outside perspective. Or two, they wanted something from me. Sometimes when you're working with high-level executives in a company, people want to manipulate you to get what they want. Well, it happens. So today we're going to focus on reason number one that people seek out a coach. They want to improve something and they don't know how to do it. So you can see the importance of being coachable. That's our topic for today. And also the reason I named my company what I named it, which is Coachability. All right. So having said that, I just wanted to introduce myself as well. So my name is Jill Chappie. My last name is spelled kind of funny. It's C-H-I-A-P-P-E, but rhymes with happy. So that's a lucky thing because I do want people as part of my coaching practice to become more happy. But the truth is they have to make themselves happy. You probably know that already. As the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So I can lead a person to a solution, but I can't make them take it as a coach. That's why the importance of being coachable is at the forefront. And like I said, why I named my company what I did. So I've been an executive coach for 24 years this year. 24 years, it's a long time. I know, makes me feel old. I work primarily with C-level executives at top technology companies. The majority of my clients, not all though, are in Silicon Valley or have roots there. And some of them have moved to other places, but started out there. But technology companies, as you know, tend to revolve around Silicon Valley. If you've seen the show Silicon Valley, you kind of get a sense of it, but that's the funny version. Mine's the more serious version, although I definitely will try to be funny about it. And there's definitely some humor involved in these day-to-day situations that I run into. But the majority of the companies I work with are focused on what's called SaaS. SaaS is Software as a Service. It's an acronym. An example of a software as a service is QuickBooks, if you've ever used that. If you use it for accounting or bookkeeping or invoices, you know that you pay them monthly to use their software as a service. So it's a big business, as you can imagine. And many of these companies that I work with are well over $1 billion mark. And by the way, I don't work with QuickBooks. They're owned by Intuit, and I have not worked with Intuit, although I do have many friends who've worked there. In many cases, I can't tell you which companies I work with or have worked with. There are some that you'll see on my website because I've been given permission to say that I've worked with them or have friends that have worked at those companies or have left those companies. But basically, anything in the present moment, you probably won't hear about or know about because I can't really talk about it. So every example I give will be more or less anonymous. I am going to have some guests on the show, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But back to today's topic, which is being coachable. So this is what we might refer to as our title track of this album, being coachable. So most people, when they consider hiring a coach, are already in a position where they have a big problem they can't solve. So this is the point they get to where they want to hire a coach. Have you ever had a big problem at work you couldn't solve? You know you're smart, you know you're a good person, but you just can't seem to solve this one. Now, this isn't the only reason people hire coaches. If you think about any Olympic athlete, and this is a popular thing coaches say, hey, all Olympic athletes have coaches, why not you? So some people start out and they say, hey, I know I need a coach. I know I'm not perfect. And so they're not actually even running into a problem. They just want a performance coach. In other words, they want to get better and better at what they do, not necessarily because they have a problem. But I'll say 80% or more of people who come to me have a problem already. I'm going to give you an example, and we'll use this throughout the episode today. An example would be a VP of marketing. The person simply cannot get people to listen to her about why they should change this language in one of their marketing campaigns. So she's been trying. She's effectively had doors slammed in her face or video cameras shut down or whatever it is about this point. She's escalated to her own manager, who happens to be the CMO, the chief marketing officer, right? Her manager also shut her down saying, please focus on other parts of your job. Just leave me alone about this. We're not going to change this campaign language. If you don't know what a campaign is, by the way, a marketing campaign is where you're doing some message that you're sending out into the public, marketing your product. So that's what we're talking about here, is a marketing campaign in my example. So most coaches would start the engagement with this VP of marketing and ask this question: what have you tried to get your manager to listen to you? I might ask a different question. What are you trying to achieve? What's the ideal situation here? And if they all finally listen to your changes about the campaign language, what might happen? So here's the main point and where people get divided into two camps. Number one, some people are trying to make things better. And number two, some people are trying to make things worse. Simple, right? Yeah, it's simple, but people miss it all the time. Why? Well, because some people are trying to make things worse and they're very good at hiding it. So we'll get to that in a later episode too. So more on that to come. But a few key points here. Number one, if a person is trying to make things better, they're willing to look at how what they are doing might not be fulfilling that goal. And I have an analogy for you later in the episode that will clarify that. It might be missing information though, or their influence skills might be lacking in this case. The person might not be good at influence. This VP of marketing, she wants to change the campaign language and she can't seem to influence anybody. Could be that her influence skills are the problem. But let's hang on and get more information. We don't know yet, do we? So number two, if the person is trying to make things worse, sometimes they hide that from themselves, by the way. But let's say, for example, there's someone else running that campaign currently and they want that person's job. They might be trying to take that person down, for example. Or maybe that's an old-time enemy, right? Their old nemesis from a prior company. And they just want to make that person wrong. That's a destructive purpose, right? But they might not see it because they've got it well thought out in their own minds. No, I'm just trying to be successful. I want the company to succeed, blah, blah, blah. Don't look at me all innocent like you've never seen this before, right? I've been doing this for 24 years. I have seen it all, okay? I've seen embezzlement. I've seen people with sleeping with people in the company they shouldn't be sleeping with. I've seen it all, the corruption, the madness, the lying, the insanity, okay? Most people aren't that way, by the way. So 80% of what we're dealing with is just normal people running into normal problems in life. But there's also some wacky stuff out there, and you got to be able to face the fact that you're going to run into some of it. So you need to know what kind of person that is first. I need to know that as a coach. What kind of person am I dealing with here, and what are they actually trying to achieve? So lucky you, if you're watching this podcast, you can sort this out for yourself, and I don't have to do the digging. And in most cases, people are constructive. 80% or more of the time, it's the old 80-20 rule. They're doing something constructive, really have a problem they can't solve, and are solving it in the wrong way. Okay, so that's where we start. So now let's say we want to help this person. So I've decided, okay, this person has a constructive purpose. I want to coach them. They want to be coached. How can we make them more coachable? How can we get them to the point of being coachable? Well, let's talk about this concept of help. Let's say we sorted out, all right, person has good intentions. They want to help themselves or others, has the right end goal. Okay, back to our example, this VP of marketing. Might be a perfectly fine person, but has this one area where there's a little blind spot, okay? Has always wanted to manage campaigns, can't seem to get that job for some reason. And this other person running those campaigns is now a bit unintentionally the target of her rage, okay? To you from the outside, you think, well, that's unreasonable, come on. You would be right, it doesn't make any sense. But it's not like people know what their blind spot is. That's why it's called a blind spot, okay? So the first thing I do with coaching people in business is to assess their blind spots. How do we do that? How in the world do we get people to see their blind spots? Well, I'm going to show you something as an example. All right, so a blind spot might, from an analogy perspective, kind of look something like this, right? Okay, I've got this thing here and I can't see it. and I'm looking at you perfectly fine. I can actually see you, no problem. I can see the world. What? There's nothing here, right? But other people looking in, especially when they're, if the person is wondering, why is my right nostril so stuffed up, right? Can't figure it out. This blind spot is just sitting there. So people outside looking in can say, maybe there's this little thing that you might want to remove from your face. And it's also happens to be hitting your right nostril. Okay. So I have to get them to look in the mirror and pull that thing off, right? I can't just say to them, hey, you're holding your hand on your face and it's blocking up your right nostril. Nope, doesn't work. I wish it worked. Life would be easier. But I also wouldn't really have a job. So here we are. So person has to believe that I can help them with this problem. And then we have to assess their blind spot. So let me back up a minute and say, all right, how am I going to get them to believe that I can help them? So number one, I'm going to have to separate myself out from other people who either have not helped them or who have betrayed them or harmed them in some way. That could be prior managers. Maybe they've had other coaches or HR people, because sometimes people equate me with an HR person and they say, oh, that person didn't help me very much, or they didn't want the best for me. You're very similar to that person, and so you're definitely not going to help me, right? Or let's say this VP of marketing that we're talking about, this head of campaigns that she's not so in favor of, happens to be a woman with dark curly hair and glasses. Oh, now I kind of look like that person. She might actually kind of equate me with that person and not trust me. Oh boy, big problem, right? So I've got to get through this point of, can the person trust me to help them? Okay, so I'm going to have to separate myself out as a person who wants to help you achieve your goals. But we have to, A, make sure they're the right goals. That, for example, stepping on others up the corporate ladder is not a good goal, right? And B, we have to make sure you can see me as a person who can help you. All right, so that's step one of being coachable. Step two is looking at these blind spots more thoroughly. In this case, I use a 360 to get feedback. I'm going to describe to you what a 360 is in case you don't know. Now, most of you watching this podcast probably know what a 360 is, or you've had one. But the very simple fact of the matter is that a circle has 360 degrees. So anything that's in a circle would be called 360 degrees, right? So 360 degree reviews are in a circle around you. That means all the people around you give you feedback. So a 360 review is where people all the way around you give you feedback. Now, why would this help? Well, because these outside perspectives might help you take a look at this thing that's sitting on your face, that's a blind spot for you, okay? So I ask 10 to 15 people, could be more, could be less. We've done many 360s before. We've done very large 360s before at very large companies. Some quite important and famous people you know have definitely had 360s. And sometimes those are up to 100 pages long. By the way, this feedback can be very long. But this feedback is intended to help you take a look at this blind spot from different angles. So when 10 to 15 people say something, you might take a look at the reality of it, and you might be ready to make a change. So let's say this VP of marketing, back to our example, gets a 360, and under the heading of influence, that's a category right in the 360, 10 different people make a comment about how she's trying to take down the director of campaigns. Interesting. This is how this person, the VP of marketing, is coming across to others. They're seeing it as she's being very negative to the head of campaigns, okay? Maybe it didn't look that way to her. Maybe she thought she was covering it up. Maybe she didn't even realize it. She thinks about it and goes, gosh, do I really feel that way? Am I really intending to do that? But yes, that's coming out in the 360. So the blind spot is starting to come out here to where the VP of marketing can look at it. All right, so now this person has received feedback and is ready to receive coaching. Really? Are they yet? Okay, so maybe not yet. Many people are stuck on how right they are about what they're doing. So they've got it well justified. We'll describe it that way, right? They can see, they can't see that a different solution would be better. I'm doing the right thing for the company. This is the right thing for marketing. Those campaigns are terrible. That wording is awful. Now the person is going to want to change this, okay? If they believe they're right about it, the head of campaigns is terrible and she's sleeping with the head of outbound marketing. Okay, well, that's more data. But it still doesn't solve whether this person, the VP of marketing, is coachable yet. Being coachable means willing to look at your own blind spots and your own purposes and your own role, and to determine what really stands in the way of getting to your goals. Because if you think it's one thing and it's actually your blind spot, you will never, ever solve that dang problem, because that's what a coach can help you do.
Are you hitting a wall as a leader? Do you need an outside perspective to gain clarity and direction? Jill Chappie has over 20 years of experience as an executive coach, helping leaders get unstuck and achieve their goals. She offers straight talk combined with empathy and humor to challenge your assumptions, expand your thinking, reveal your blind spots, and equip you with concrete action steps. If you're ready to level up your leadership and get coachable, click on Leadership Assessment at becoachable.com and then email to schedule your readout. Cost is $99 to get your results. Invest in yourself and your growth. You'll walk away feeling informed, empowered, and ready to implement change. Let's get coachable.
All right, so how do we do this? How do we get to the point where we can get you to be coachable? All right, number one, an option. You can take an assessment. You work on your self-awareness. There are many ways to do this. I'll get to more of that in a minute. Number two, we assess things to see if they're at a point where you would be willing to change. Are you willing to say, I might not be right about the solution I chose? Okay. Number three, we get some feedback somehow, some way. There are lots of ways to do this, by the way. I'll go over some of those in a moment as well. You can be brave and ask for it yourself. That's one option. Or you can get a mentor. There are other options upcoming. Okay. Number four, if you can do it, get a coach, of course. Even a really trustworthy colleague can potentially handle this. But you have to be willing to have that person tell you hard truths. No sugarcoating. Although anything can be said in a kind way or with politeness, but we still need the blunt facts of the matter, okay? Number five, look in the mirror when asked, okay? You're going to have to be willing to take a look at this blind spot and what might be plugging up your right nostril, okay? And number six, you have to improve, and I mean improve. What I mean is shore it up. Your desire to succeed, your desire to help others, and even your desire to help yourself. That has to get better, okay? Then we can get somewhere. A person who can't do these steps is not coachable, and I just simply wouldn't take them as a client, period. So we're talking about step zero, really, in a coaching practice of, and for any other coaches out there watching this, I hope this helps you. I hope you haven't taken on people who are not coachable. And you probably have. I mean, early on in my career, I certainly did. And I had to immediately start sorting out who's coachable and who's not. The second piece of that is that I want people who are already good at what they do, and I want to make them better. I'm not trying to take somebody who's a complete disaster and turn them into something pretty good. Quite the opposite. It's why I do executive coaching, is these are people who are already pretty darn talented, and I want to make them even better. Okay, now a little bit on personal experience. So personal experience is that people lose persistence when they hit a problem they can't solve. So this is, we're going to use our VP of marketing example a little bit more, but I want to give you a broad picture of it too. So again, people lose persistence when they hit a problem they can't solve. And I want to use an analogy for this too. What people normally do when they can't solve this problem is they do all sorts of things instead of solving the right problem or solving it the right way. For example, they might change careers. They might yell at their partner when they get home. They drop out of the workforce entirely. They go, hey, let me have some more kids and just say, forget about it, right? You say to their partner, you go back to work, I'm going to raise the kids. That one happens, believe it or not, many, many, many times. Or they resign themselves to their fate. I'll be in this role forever. Or they're probably going to riff me. Or riff means a reduction in force where you get fired, right? Or they're going to lay me off or whatever. There's nothing I can do about it anyway. So if you've reached this point, the I can't do anything about this problem I have in my career, let me show you what is the equivalent of that, okay? So let's say you're in a boat going down a river. All right, in the middle of the river is a huge rock, okay? And you're the captain of the boat, of course, driving this boat down the river. You're going to some wonderful destination. Let's say it's a hot springs a couple of miles down. You're in this boat, you're driving. You decide, okay, here's how I'm going to tackle this problem of a huge rock in the middle of the river. I'm just going to slam my boat into the rock repeatedly, okay, over and over. I hit a C because I've been told I can wear a rock down, all right? So I'm just going to keep slamming into that rock over and over and over and over and over and over to see if I can get through it. I'm going to carve a tunnel in the rock because, hey, that's good for other people in the future. They're going to have a tunnel right through this big rock in the middle of the river. What a great idea. That's the way you're going to solve the problem, right? Okay, what are the issues with this? Number one, your focus is not the rock. The rock is the barrier. And what are you focused on? The barrier. So what you should be focused on is the hot spring that you're going to at the end of the river. But instead, what you're focused on is the rock, Okay. And so you're focused on the rock instead of where you're going. Number two, you've chosen a very bad solution for this problem. Why? Boats versus rocks. I think I'm going to pick the rock every time on that one, right? So now you're going to lose to the barrier in this situation. And number three, you've ignored other possible, more creative solutions, right? Aren't there some other possible ways you could tackle this problem? Like, I don't know, go around it. I mean, there's probably been a lot of years of navigation, kind of mapping the way around this rock. Now, maybe you say, oh, but there, you know, on the left side of the rock are rapids, on the right side of the rock, it's, you know, shallow water, whatever it may be. These are other problems, other barriers. But you also may want to pick which barrier you're going to tackle. What's better, the rapids, the shallow water, or the big rock? Well, if you've chosen that particular barrier of the rock, again, may not be the right one. So other solutions better. So a coach can help with that too, because we can look at, are you looking at the right solutions? All right, so now what do I think you personally should do about these things today? If you're wanting to be more coachable, if you're wanting some solutions for yourself, for your career, for doing better at business generally. Number one, you have an option. You can buy my book. It's actually called Be Coachable. This book is not just for a random person though, looking to improve their life. That's like personal or life coaching. It's not what I do. I do executive coaching. So executive coaching is meant for people who are in large corporations at the VP level and above generally. Now, some very large corporations, the VP equivalent would be something like a director or a senior director. If you work in business at all, this still could be useful to you, but it is definitely specifically targeted towards executive coaching. So it's meant for people who are in those higher level position, and really C-suite is what it's aimed at in these larger corporations. Okay. So you can read it. That can help you if this is your situation. If you're not, what you could do is, and if you're interested in being more coachable, is start to improve your self-awareness. Now, how do you do this? It's a great idea, by the way, no matter what you're doing, what profession you're in, what field you're in, and at what level. It doesn't matter. There are tons of books on emotional intelligence, including the original, the OG book on emotional intelligence called EQ by Daniel Goleman. You can always check that out. Of course, you can get it on Amazon. By the way, my book is available on Amazon as well. Again, it's Be Coachable and by the author, me, Jill Chappie. Very easy to find on Amazon. You can also, and this is a really important thing to think about, take an assessment of some kind. You can, of course, hire me for a 360 if you can, if you have the means to do that. Fantastic. I'd love to work with you. If that's not in your budget, you can do a self-directed 360. Just Google it, self-directed 360. You can look up how to get feedback for yourself in the organization that you currently work in. You can have your HR department help you if that's good for you. You can take a self-assessment of any variety. By the way, self-assessments are just where you're assessing yourself. It's not going to really hit blind spots as much, but it'll give you some higher level of self-awareness. You'll learn some things about yourself. Never a bad thing. Pat Lencioni, who's one of my favorite business authors, always says the best leader is a self-aware leader. So the best leader is a self-aware leader. I always love that quote, and I agree. So if you want to uptick your leadership in some way, you can always improve your self-awareness. So take an assessment of some kind. Here are some options. My current favorite's Working Genius. You can take that through my company. I'm certified to deliver it. You can also just take it on the Working Genius website, workinggenius.com. I believe it's very simple. It's about $25 to $30 an assessment, depending on whether you want to take it for yourself or get your team mapped. If you want your team mapped, you're probably going to call me, by the way. And so following me on LinkedIn is a good way to get some of my Working Genius content. And then I will also be doing some podcasts on Working Genius and applying it to some specific work situations. So there's also the Hogan, there's 16 personalities, there's Enneagram, and many other. StrengthsFinders is good. It's a bit complex though, and so I tend towards simpler models. I like Working Genius because it's simple and straightforward, easy to use. Again, all of these assessments are self-assessments, and they're things that are aimed at raising your awareness of yourself. So it may not hit your blind spot necessarily, but it might kind of hit this finger of it, or pull it a little bit away here, or get you looking at it from a different angle. So definitely helpful to take any kind of an assessment that you might like to take. If you have any questions about that, of course, you can always reach out to me. Last thing, obviously the easiest thing you can do here is subscribe and listen to more episodes of my podcast. We will be talking about how you can continue to be coachable and also some topics that will help you get better at your role. I'm gonna have some big guests on here, some big personalities at least, who will talk about their success at large companies, as well as challenges they've met along the way. So we have much more coming for you in terms of content. And I'm looking forward to an ongoing conversation with you. Of course, as you subscribe, as you put comments on my podcast, I'd love to hear if there are certain topics you want me to address. I will definitely be covering some of the myths and some of the truths about life in corporate America and how executive coaching can work for you, some of those barriers that you might see, some of the rocks in the river, and better ways to get around the rocks as well. So I hope this has been helpful in terms of some knowledge for you today. And we will continue, of course, with episode 2 upcoming. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks for tuning in to the Being Coachable podcast. I hope you found value in today's conversation. If you have any follow-up questions or want to continue the discussion, visit our website at becoachable.com and click on contact. Join our mailing list to receive offers for reduced cost leadership assessments and team building sessions. You can also find show notes, past episode transcripts, and more resources on the podcast tab. I'll catch you on the next episode as we continue to maximize our potential and get coachable.